Certainly is good to be here this morning. If you have your New Testaments with you, you can turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11, which that doesn't, I think once you get there, you'll see you don't have to spend a lot of time there. You'll know exactly what that verse says. It says, "Give us today our daily bread." What we're talking about there is Jesus is talking inside of the Lord's Prayer. As we look at America today, we see that we've got a lot of different issues going on. We've got a lot of problems in America, of course, and we've got a lot of debt in America. I think we're $14 trillion in debt, and so there's no wondering in my mind why a lot of people, a lot of us can be anxious, can be worried. And I want to look at that phrase, though, in Matthew 6 and verse 11, "Give us today our daily bread." Bread, obviously, is a universal food. It's a staple food. It's a food that, you know, it's almost in every culture that you know of. It's pretty easy to make. A little flour, a little water, and yeast sometimes, salt, sugar, whatever else you want to put in it. You know, it's pretty universal. Different cultures have different types of bread, different thicknesses, different hardnesses, and things of that nature. So it is pretty universal. I do know research shows that 67% of all children don't like crust on their bread. I always knew I was weird because I like the crust. To me, that's one of the best parts. But I think when we look at this scripture, Jesus is talking a lot more than just bread. Obviously, he's talking a lot more than just bread. I think it represents four things. And the first thing it represents is the necessities of life. You need water to live, you need air to breathe, you need food to live on, you need sunshine, you need all sorts of things as far as the necessity of life. And Jesus doesn't ever, or God never creates anything that he doesn't have all these things supplied for. In Psalms 104, verse 25, 26, 27, all through there, it's a very lengthy reading. But basically he says this, "The oceans teems with life of every kind, both great and small, big whales, little minnows," and he even uses another version of the Leviathan there. He says, "Every one of these depend on you to get them daily food. You supply it, and they gather it." Now, this is the economy of God. He says, "I don't create anything unless I supply for it." But also notice it. He says, "You gather it." You can't be a couch potato. You can't veg out and just say, "Oh, here it comes. I can get it." You remember manna that God gave for the children of Israel as they were leaving Egypt. He would give them manna, but still, he doesn't just fall into their plate. They still had to go out and gather it. Proverbs 14 and verse 23 said, "Hard work pays off. Mere talk puts no bread on the table, but leads to poverty." So bread, first of all, represents, I believe, the necessity of life. Second of all, bread represents God's Word. The Bible is spiritual bread, or it should be, spiritual food. Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Now, he is quoting, actually, from Deuteronomy 8 and verse 3, way back when, again, we're at the children of Israel, when he was dealing with bread and with manna. And he says there in Deuteronomy 8, 3, he says, "God humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna." Remember, you know, manna, what manna was there, supernatural food that God dropped down from heaven and people would have to pick it up. Now, does anybody here know what the word manna really means? In Hebrew, the manna really means, what is it? That's what it means. I don't know about you, but I have been at places that I've eaten, what is it? Being raised at the children's home there at the cafeteria, I'd come in and say, what is it? And you know what the response was? Be quiet and eat it. You know, what is it? It's what manna, because what is it? It came from God. I mean, can you imagine just the things that went on and the cookbooks that probably were distributed during those 40 years? And what are we having for breakfast? Well, we're having manna omelets. What are we having for lunch? We're having manna stew. What are we having for dinner? We're having manna cotti. I mean, you had all these manna things. You know, how many ways can you fix it? He said, "God gave you this bread to teach you a lesson." It represents God's Word. The third thing it represents, I believe, is fellowship. God's family and fellowship. You see, you don't just have spiritual needs. You have physical needs, but we also have relational needs. Man shall not live by bread alone. God says it's not good for man to be alone. He says, I want you to have a life outside of just your physical needs. You've got to have something different. That's why I created something called the church. That is supposed to be our relational needs met. God doesn't want us to be independent. He doesn't want us to be dependent. He wants us to be interdependent on one another. 1 Corinthians 10:16. Is not the cup of thanksgiving for which we give thanks a participation in the blood of Christ? And is not the bread that we break a participation in the body of Christ? Another version says this, the bread which we break, does it not mean that in eating it together we participate in and share in the fellowship of the body of Christ? We participate, which we just did, we participate and we share in the body of Christ. Fellowship meant something in the Old Testament when you had a fellowship offering. And even today, that's what we do. And New Testament talks about in Acts 2 and 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, and to the breaking of bread and to prayer. So it's part of fellowship. In fact, the early church, it says they broke bread together. It's part of oneness. Bread represents the necessities of life, represents the Word of God, the family of God, and I believe it represents something else too. I believe it represents salvation. Our salvation in Christ, salvation in Jesus. Jesus chose bread, as we just partook of, to be part of a sacrifice that he was going to make. Luke 22:19, Jesus took a piece of bread, he gave thanks to God, and he broke it and he gave it to them and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in memory of me." He wasn't saying, "This is my body," because he wasn't dead yet. You're not actually physically eating his body, but the bread represents his body. That's what he's saying. It represents his body, and I want you to partake of this and remember that I have paid your price to heaven. I have punched your ticket to heaven. You know, I've already done that. And so that's what bread represents. Now, here's the point. Give us today our daily bread. Now, whether it's physical, emotional, relational, spiritual, it doesn't matter. God says, I can meet those needs. I can connect to those needs. How do I let God do that? How do I let God meet the needs? And it's very important that we know that God can do this in these times that we're having now. The Bible says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Says, according to your faith, it will be done you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So what does it mean? What does it mean to depend on God? What does it mean to have that faith in God that you're going to supply me my daily bread? Well, I believe it means these things this morning. Number one, it means depending on God means seeing God as my source. That's the first step. Seeing my source. The source of what? Literally the source of everything. He's the source of everything. From light, from air, to atoms, to water, it doesn't matter. He's the source of everything on this universe. And there's some things you need to remember about that. First of all, it's all a gift. It is a gift from God. Everything's a gift from God. Nothing you have you earn. You know, the next breath you take, if you take one, is a gift from God. And what did you do to produce that breath? Nothing. God is giving you that. The sunshine. What do we do to produce? We don't do anything. It's a gift from God. We wouldn't be taking that next breath if it wasn't a gift from God. James 1:17 says, every good and perfect gift comes from God, comes from above. And that's why he's saying the Lord's Prayer says, give. Give us today our daily bread. Give. We're asking God to give it to us because we don't have it. He's got to give it to us. It's a gift. Two, there's nothing I need that God can't provide. There's nothing I need in this next year that God cannot provide. I don't know what you're going to need next year. I don't know what you're going to need next week or this afternoon as far as that goes. But God can provide that for us. Now, the problem with that is we get kind of caught up in, well, I need a new fill-in-the-blank car. Do you really need one or do you want one? I need a new You know, is it really a need or is it just a want? See, there's a big difference there. God has enough resources. God has immeasurable resources. And matter of fact, Philippians 4:19 says, God will supply all that you ever need from His glorious resources in Christ Jesus. So as a Christian, you should never have the scarcity mentality. In other words, it's going to run out. It's going to run out. There's not going to be enough for us. You know, we sometimes think of God as got this big cherry pie in the sky. And you know, there's just so many slices of pie that He can have. And yet, when you get down to seven pieces, that eighth one's the last one, and then it's all over with. God doesn't run out of pie, guys. He doesn't run out of fillings. See, God has enough for all the world's needs. God does not have enough for all the world's greeds. And that's the difference. God has enough to meet our needs, but not enough to meet our greeds, nor will He ever. Three, and this is a powerful thing here, He wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. Matthew 7 and verse 11 says, if you are asked by your son for bread, would you give him a stone? How much more likely is it that your heavenly Father will give you good things to those who ask Him? My kids come up to me and say, hey, I'm hungry. Well, here, go chew on a piece of rubber. You know, well, that doesn't work, does it? You know, that doesn't make a lot of sense. You get them something to eat, don't you? Then there's a fourth thing. He's waiting to give it to us. If you have a need, a genuine need in your life, it's not God's fault. He's waiting to you to give it to us. Over and over again in Matthew, He says it. He says, you don't have because you don't ask God. Then in Matthew, listen to what He says. Ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and the door shall be open. Ask, seek. Knock, A-S-K. He says it three different ways. The start of every one of those phrases spell out ask. You know, He says to ask me. You don't have wisdom, you don't have it because you don't ask for it. Ask me for it. I'll get it to you. He is the one that can get us all of our needs. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Who is your source? Who are you looking to meet your needs? I hope it's not Washington, D.C. That won't do it. Hope it's not your 401k. That won't do it. I hope it's not your spouse. You know, you get married and you think, they'll meet all of my needs. You find out they have as many needs as you do. And so that doesn't work. I hope it's not some boyfriend or girlfriend. I hope it's not your next investment, your next car, your next vote. Do you think that's going to meet your needs? Because that's not going to do it. Only God can meet your needs. That's it. Only God can. Another thing, not only is God my source, but God also, depending on Him, means trusting Him for today. Not for next week, not for tomorrow, not for next month, but just for today. You see, God gave us this thing called a day. He divides things up in little 24-hour bite-sized pieces called a day. Give us today, give us this month our monthly bread, give us this week our weekly bread. It doesn't say that. Give us today our daily bread. That's all He has, just for today. It's not monthly, it's not weekly, it is just for today. We'll worry about next month. How do you do that? How do you trust God just for today? Well, there's four things that you have to do, okay? And it's all found in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8 right there, especially verse 6 and 8. You know this passage. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, thanking Him for all He's done. And fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honorable, what is right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise. Notice what that passage says. Number one, worry about nothing. Trusting Him for today means worry about nothing. He says, I don't want you to worry about anything. Now, folks, let me be real blunt with you this morning. There's some things in the Bible that I don't have a problem with. Don't murder. Hey, got that one down, God. That's good with me. Don't believe I'll murder today. This one says, don't worry. I break it six or seven times every day. It is probably the hardest commandment in the Bible, or hardest thing that God asks us to do that we cannot do. Why is worry such a big deal? Why does God say, I don't want you to worry? You may not have really realized about it, but this is all going back to depending on God for our daily bread. But you might not worry to realize this, but worry is actually a sin. God, because when I worry, what I'm saying is, God, I don't believe you can take care of me. God, I don't think you can do what you say you're going to do. My kids come up to me and they say, hey, or your kids come up to you and they say, Dad, we don't think you can take care of us. We don't think you can pay for the house. Well, I can pay for it. Dad, we don't think you can feed us. I'll get you something to eat. Dad, we don't think that you'll, and the list goes on and on. Well, what happens? If you're a parent, you get kind of insulted, don't you? You kind of start thinking, well, what's wrong with you kids? Of course I can't. I've always done it. We do the same thing to God. The exact same thing when we worry. We're saying, God, I don't believe that you can take care of me. God, I don't believe that you can take care of my worries and my needs and my whatever, my food and whatever else. I don't believe you can do that. God's saying it's an insult, and you're acting like an atheist. You're acting like an orphan, a spiritual orphan. Matthew 6:34 says, don't be anxious about tomorrow. God will take care of your tomorrow. Live one day at a time. Notice in that passage in Philippians says, don't worry. And then he says, follows the don't with the do. He says, I want you to pray. God says, pray about everything. You've got two choices. You can either pray or you can panic. You can either worry or you can worship. You choose to do whichever one you want to do. You know, worry is like stewing without doing. It's like a rocking chair. A lot of motion, but you're not getting anywhere. He's saying, don't do that. Prayer can change everything. Worry changes nothing. Everything. Romans 8:32 says, since God did not spare even his own son for us, but he gave him up for all of us, won't he also surely give us everything else? Your biggest problem, our biggest problem is salvation. Our biggest problem is, how do I get to heaven? I do it through the blood of Christ. And what Paul is saying there, he's saying, God's already punched that ticket. Christ died for you on the cross. He already gave you the biggest worry you should ever have, so you shouldn't worry at all. Don't worry about it. Pray about it. And then the next thing he says in that scripture is to thank God in all things. Thank him in all things. He doesn't say thank him for bad things, for bad things. I don't thank him for cancer. I don't thank him for molestation. I don't thank him for abuse. I don't thank him for war. But I do thank him in those things. I thank him in those things. Paul's writing that scripture in Philippians in a prison. I thank him. I don't worry about it. I pray about it, and then I thank him. And then the fourth thing it says, as far as me depending on God, as far as trusting him, as far as thinking about the right things. The fourth thing he says is, you think about the right things. He says, you think about whatever is true, honorable, right, lovely, pure, holy, those things. Where do you find those things? At the movie theater? Nope. TV? No. Magazines? Probably not. You find those things in the Word of God. That's where you find them. In today's technology, all of us, should be able to get into the Word of God. You know, on my phone, I've got a reading plan for reading through the Bible through a year on my phone. I've got 20 different versions of the Bible on my phone. You can have it on your iPad, whatever you've got. There's so many different ways for us to get information now, but it comes down to the same problem we had 100, 200 years ago. It's got to be the right information. We can't be getting it from TV, movies, and those sort of things. If you spend more time reading news and reading the newspaper, guess what you're going to do? You're going to get filled with negative thoughts, negative things in your mind. You can get depressed. You can get worried. Spend time in God's Word. And then the last thing that I have to do this morning. If I am going to depend on God for all of my needs, the very last thing, and this is so helpful to us, we have to share whatever God supplies us. You trust in God, depending on God, means that I share whatever He gives us. When God gives us something, He always wants us to share it. Give us today our daily bread. What does it mean to share it? He wants us to learn to be like Him. God always wants us to learn to be like Him. For God so loved the world that He gave. He gave. We have to be willing to give to be more like Him. God says, I want you to learn to love, and love is all about sharing. Look at the passage. Give us today our daily bread. It's in giving. God wants us to learn to trust Him and trust Him in all that we do. And the way I do that is by sharing it with somebody else. You can give. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. These things that we talked about today, this peace of mind that we're supposed to have within Christ Jesus, this daily bread that He's going to give us on a daily basis, all of these things that I'm not going to worry about, these whole things wrapped up together makes us who we are as Christians, or it should. And that life is what we need to be out sharing with others. To have that life, though, one of the things you've got to do is you've got to come in contact with the blood of Christ. To do that, you need to believe in Him, repent of your sins, confess, and put Him on in baptism. And if you're here this morning and you need to do that, or if you need the prayers of the church, let us know as together we stand and sing.